I heard a story how in the middle of a monthly session meeting, the group was visited by an angel who spoke to the pastor and said, "Because of your unselfish and exemplary service, I will reward you with either wisdom, wealth, or beauty." "Well, give me wisdom," the pastor replied without hesitation. "Done," says the angel. All heads now turned to the pastor, who was sitting with a slight halo around his head. "Well," said the clerk of session, "say something brilliant." The pastor stood and with the wisdom of Solomon said, "I think I should have taken the money." Most of us wouldn't mind being a little wealthier. How many of you heard about that South Carolina lottery this past week, where the winning ticket holder stands to claim a $1.5 billion lottery jackpot? Anyone spend any time fantasizing about that? Maybe just a little? I mean, $1.5 billion would buy a lot of pumpkin spice lattes, wouldn't it? But while having more money can ease some of life's challenges, the reality, I think, is that a bigger need for most of us is discernment. We struggle with decisions about careers. Should I stay at home with the kids or try to get back into the job market? We struggle with decisions about relationships. Do I continue being her friend? I mean, she's such a gossip. We struggle with decisions about children. Should I say something or leave it alone? I mean, I don't agree with what they're doing. We struggle with decisions about our parents. Is it time to move Dad into a care home? And what do we do about his finances? Life is filled with difficult decisions. Having more money won't make any of these decisions much easier. Most of us would benefit more from added wisdom than extra money in our bank accounts. Today's story introduces us to King Solomon. Now, if you're here last week, you'll recall David's liaison with Bathsheba, and you may find it interesting, of all the possible descendants for the throne, that it would be David and Bathsheba's second son, Solomon, who would be chosen for that place. Today we meet Solomon. We are told that he had a dream where the Lord God Almighty appeared to him, offering, "What can I give you? Just ask." Now, one commentator notes, before answering, Solomon humbly reflects on his father's legacy. While David's military prowess and political achievements were more than noteworthy, Solomon already had a little bit of wisdom to realize something much deeper proved foundational to David's successes. In Solomon's eyes, the Lord's steadfast love made David great. "He was your servant," Solomon tells God, "and walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and uprightness of heart. Consequently, he rose from tending sheep to the throne of the people of God." Now Solomon muses, "How will I get there from here? You made me king, yet I'm only a little child. I know neither how to go out nor to come in." "Give your servant," Solomon asks God, "give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people and the ability to discern between good and evil." That choice, we are told, greatly pleases the Lord. The Lord is so pleased that he also promises the wealth and fame that Solomon didn't ask for. Of course, it's not hard to see why. Solomon demonstrated humility and a desire to chase after God's purposes. He had asked for something that would enable him to carry out his God-given task, and not for something that would promote his own glory. God promised Solomon wisdom, and God delivered. The wisdom of Solomon can be observed in many ways. I mean, just take a look at his judicial rulings. I think most of you are familiar with that famous dispute the king presides over, a maternity conflict, a contest between two women about whom is the rightful mother. Well, with an understanding of motherhood, Solomon orders the child in dispute to be cut into two so that the disputing woman could each have half. Solomon knew that the true mother would rather give up the child than see him die. As a result, we are told, Israel marveled. They marveled because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to execute justice. This wisdom of Solomon can also be observed in the accounts of his visitors. In 1 Kings chapter 10, we are told that when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test him with all her hard questions. Solomon, we are told, answered all these questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true, but I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard." The wisdom of Solomon can be seen in his judicial rulings. It can be seen in the stories of his visitors. And this wisdom of Solomon can also be seen in his writings. I don't know if you are aware, but Solomon wrote over 900 of the sayings that are found in the biblical book of the Proverbs. 900 of those Proverbs are Solomon's. Solomon also wrote Ecclesiastes, a book of philosophical introspection, as well as the Song of Songs, a book of poetry, and then even two psalms can be attributed to him, Psalm 72 and Psalm 127. God blessed Solomon with incredible wisdom, yet for all of Solomon's wealth and fame and wise administration, Solomon did have a blind spot. The Bible record notes that as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of his father David had been. Solomon's wisdom wasn't directed to his worship, and for these sins, the kingdom of Israel would be torn in two. I wonder what it would be like to have Solomon's wisdom. To have a quick and ready understanding of all people and all situations. I mean, to walk into a room and to know what's going on, to discern in a meeting what's the origin of the conflict, to know whether someone is trustworthy or telling a lie, to have the wisdom to know what to do. To know what to do when a decision needs to be made about a career or about family or about business or about worship. How would you like to have the wisdom of Solomon? Do you think you would benefit from greater discretion, discernment? The interesting thing, which we've been sort of getting into already during the service, is that God is very generous with wisdom. In the Bible, we are given the example of Jesus, in whom it's said, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We have this example that we can learn from to show us wisdom that doesn't fail. Solomon's wisdom only went so far. Jesus' wisdom goes all the way. Then in the book of James, that verse we did as a repeat after me verse, we are advised that if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help, and you won't be condescended to when you ask for it. You don't have to grovel. Just ask. Of course, keep in mind, and this is, I think, important, that the wisdom of God is not always like the wisdom of our age. I mean, think of it. The wisdom of God convinces young college students to head off on mission trips digging ditches in Haiti when their parents would rather have them pursue that summer co-op job, right? Build that career, right? Get ahead. The wisdom of God convinces churches to be liberal with their resources rather than simply save and hoard what they have for themselves. I mean, I recently read about a vineyard church in Winnipeg who were in the middle of trying to reorient themselves to reach their own inner city neighborhood. And they had this money that they had set aside. They had this money they had set aside to as a down payment for a new building. Of course, they also had a partnership with a mission in Nepal. And over a period of time, they realized that, well, they wanted to use that money to put themselves in the neighborhood they were aiming at, that Nepal could make better use of what they had set aside. God's wisdom often leads us in different directions than the knowledge and common sense of those around us. Of course, the wisdom of God does carry this promise, as the book of Proverbs admonishes us, do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. All to say that the wisdom of God is for our blessing and our benefit. So, what situations are you facing where you could use a dose of God's wisdom today? I don't know if you noticed, but we sort of changed around the order of service today. Today we have the prayers of the people after the sermon. I would like to use this time, this Sunday, knowing that God is caring for all those concerns that you may have brought specifically for this time, but I want to direct our prayer time this morning instead to those situations where you need wisdom, where there's a decision that has to be made, where you're struggling with something. I invite you to ask, to seek, to knock for God's direction in our lives. And so, I just want to open the floor. Are there situations in your lives where you could use wisdom? Situations that you're maybe willing to share in the broader community? Let's bring these prayers before God. Lord, thank you so much that for your rich care of us. Sometimes we fantasize that we could win a lottery or get some sort of windfall, and maybe that would solve some of the challenges in our lives. But Lord, you offer us something greater, an ability to get through life and complex decisions, not easily, but with your assistance, to know, to be able to discover ways that we hadn't thought before because we've opened our lives to you. Lord, folks here have opened their lives to you this morning. Prayers for understanding others and how to bless people who live on the margins. Prayers for how to live in a society that's radically changed and in some ways opposed to our values. Lord, wisdom and how to deal with legacy and people's concerns as they live out their latter years. Wisdom to know how to care for folks. Wisdom to know how to raise children, wisdom to know how to balance careers and caregiving. Lord, you've heard these concerns, and you've heard the ones that we weren't able to mention in a group. But Lord, we express them to you now in the silence of this moment. Lord, you are always at work, always speaking to us. Help us to listen this week, even as we work through these challenges. Help us to notice your direction, your guidance, and to take confidence in it, and to take joy that we are not alone, that you have not abandoned us. You are there beside us, encouraging us, strengthening us, leading us in right paths. And so we give you thanks and praise. Amen.